Willis and all, but appreciate you for reading the whole thing and not just a couple of verses. Happy Mother's Day. I know it's not Mother's Day everywhere in the world, but at least some countries celebrate Mother's Day today. I know in the USA it is, and I think in Hong Kong people celebrate today. UK, I think, is a little bit different. But there's always a good day. Every country should celebrate Mother's Day at least one day a year, right? For all the hard work that goes into motherhood throughout the year. Let's pray together. So, Lord, I ask for your help. My heart's desire is that our wives and our mothers would be encouraged today, not discouraged, not to feel guilty, but to have hope. So I pray today we would accomplish that through this jar of clay. In Jesus' name. So we'll be in Titus chapter 2 if you have a Bible. Turn on your Bible or turn in your Bible to Titus chapter 2. Does the Bible have anything to say today to mothers? Does the Bible have anything to say about what it means to be a wife? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about a lot of things, but just about everything. And the real question for most of us is whether what the Bible says is true and applicable for today. One of my neighbors, when I first moved in here in Hong Kong, he said to me, so you're like a priest, right? I said, well, not exactly. And he said, well, so the Bible, he said, don't you think the Bible kind of needs like updating? Kind of like to modern times kind of Bible? Like he actually said, like a 10.0 version? Well, a lot of the world thinks so. But let's look today at what the scripture says and see if we can find some encouragement from the Bible that's not the 10.0 version. Just the original. So in Titus, the book of Titus, just a short book, Paul is writing to a man named Titus who is a fellow church planter with Paul. And at some point, they had gone to the island of Crete. Right? This island off the coast of Greece. And they had gone there and they had started church. They had talked to some people about Jesus, and evidently people have come out of these pagan backgrounds and they believed in Jesus. And now there are churches scattered across the island of Crete. And Titus is there and Paul has gone somewhere else. And Paul is writing this letter. Paul is writing to encourage Titus for two reasons that we see in chapter 1. One of those reasons is that there is some false teaching going on, or some false teachers that are there that need to be corrected. And that's why he mentions the phrase sound doctrine a couple of times, because some bad doctrine needs some sound doctrine. And he's going to give us some practical teachings in that regard today. The second reason he's writing to Titus is, he says, to put things in order by establishing local leaders, he calls them elders and overseers, in all of these churches who can carry on the work. Because later on in the book of Titus, he's going to tell Titus to come to him somewhere else. You're going to leave Titus, but across this island are many cities with many churches, and you need to establish some local leaders there to carry on the work, right? Makes sense. Titus can't do all the work himself. So in starting today, I want to begin a little bit by working backwards. So I want to start at the end of chapter 2 and then work towards the beginning. Because I believe in these verses in 11 through 14, we have a good summary of really the Christian life. It says this, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." It's a basic statement about what it means to be a Christian. Our great God and Savior Jesus Christ gave himself to redeem people, all those who believe in him, from lawlessness or sinful behavior, and to purify them. He purified them how? By giving his life on the cross, he shed his blood that they might be forgiven of their sins. And then those who believe are called God's people. Christians, God's people, by the grace of God, are to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age and be zealous for good works. Why? Waiting for our blessed hope, which is the return of Jesus, right? So that's actually a good summary of the gospel, of what it really means to be a Christian in that passage. Christians are not supposed to be like the world. We're to be different. We're his people. We are people of the book. We are to live according to the book. We are to live according to sound doctrine. But what's going on in Crete at this time is there's some other people who are in there, and they're teaching some weird things, and they need some instruction on how to live. So, at the beginning of chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy some very simple, basic things for how he wants the people, how they're supposed to live their lives, right? So we all want to know how I'm supposed to live. And particularly today, we're going to look at the passages talking about older women and younger women for some encouragement today on Mother's Day. So, here's what it says. "But as for you, Titus, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise," meaning likewise in the same way that the older men are supposed to be these things, "you in a similar way are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." So he gives a list of older men, older women, younger men, instructions for Titus himself, and then employees. So we might call them bond servants or slaves, but really these are employees, people who are working. So if you want to know how you're supposed to work, a couple weeks ago, Sam Burr just talked about that. The Bible has a lot to say about that as well. So these six groups, he's just going to say, teach these things. These are the things that are in accordance with sound doctrine of how we're supposed to live. Who is best to equip? Who is best equipped to train young women to be wives and mothers of sound doctrine? Who is best equipped to train young women to be wives and mothers of sound doctrine, or single ladies with sound doctrine, for that matter? Who's best equipped to do that? Older women. Women who who have lived a little while through those stages of life to be able to train and impart wisdom and understanding into the lives of young women. So he says, the older women likewise, in that passage, older women, you may find comfort in this. He says, are to be holy, means holy, not gossips, and not drinking too much wine. You say, well, I've got that covered. I don't drink too much wine. For some reason, he needed to tell them that in their context, what was going on in their lives, but that was what was going on and what they needed to hear. Now, interestingly enough, it's not that that's all they needed to hear, because if they're going to train the young women in these other things that he gives to the young women, they also have to be what they train, you understand? Meaning they have to live that example and be those things, not just train them to be those things. So he gives a pattern, and the pattern looks like this. You know me well enough by now, after 1 year, my brain thinks in patterns. This is what it looks like. Number one, he says, love your husband. Number two, he says, love your children. We could call those home relationships. He begins with love your husband, and he ends with submit to your husband. In the middle are two qualities that have to do with your own personal holiness. Be self-controlled and be pure. And then at the end, he says, busy at home. Literally, it means working at home. We'll explain that a little bit. And kind. That's pretty difficult. Just kind. And submissive to your husband. And then all of those, we would say, they fall under. Why? So that, he says, down in verse 5, that the word of God may not be reviled or dishonored. So what I want you to see is that he's giving these ladies in this particular section, we'll talk about the men, by the way, Father, today, okay? So in this section, talking to ladies, he's saying, this is the way, if you live this way, you're going to have a witness to the community around you. A holistic witness. And what are those things in accordance with sound doctrine that will give a holistic witness to the Word of God or to the name of God? What are those? Notice the list begins, like I said, with husband. This is significant. You may think this is quite strange on Mother's Day to talk about being a wife. But ironically, the best thing you can do for your children is to love your husband. Let me say that again. The best thing you can do for your children is to show them an example of what it means to love your husband. Because God, the reason is this, is because God ordained marriage before he ordained childbearing and being mother. Genesis chapter 2, he created marriage. Genesis chapter 3 is the fall. And then, I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 1. Let me make sure I'm good. Marriage is in Genesis 2. The fall is in Genesis 3. And Genesis 4 is when children come. You say, wow, I knew that children were a product of the fall. Well, no, not really. We're all a product of the fall. But sisters, let me encourage you today that the best thing you can do to be a mother for your kids is to love your husband and submit to him, because it's God's design, because the kids feel safe and loved in that kind of environment. Kids thrive in love and safety, and when mom and dad love each other, it makes them feel better. So he says, in this present age, must do everything. Well, what's going on today is, in this present age, We all know that it seems like children are the most important thing in all of our lives. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Children are not supposed to be the center of the home. Marriage is supposed to come before childbearing. Because if we have a healthy marriage, we're going to have probably healthy kids, not always. So we must be careful not to conform to the ways of the world, which have told everybody around the whole world today that kids, 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 kids. We put all of our time and energy into that. But what would happen if we put all of our time and energy first into loving our husbands, loving our spouse, loving our wife? For the last 50 years, we've given our time and energy to changing roles of men and women and twisting it all around and saying, we think we can change this book and make it the 10.0 version. Let's change it all around. What have we done? We've messed the world up. The world is a total mess. In my own country, divorce is 51% amongst Christians and 50% amongst non-Christians. Families are a wreck. Dads are gone. Moms are gone. And we wonder what's going on with our culture. Maybe that's just America, but Hong Kong probably has some room for improvement on that as well. So here's my encouragement to you. Firstly, love your husband. Submit to your husband. Number two, he says, love your children. Well, you may say, well, that's pretty easy. I don't think anybody needs to be told to love their children. But being a mom is hard. Being a mom is pretty tough, isn't it? Always being on. The switch is always on. Always being needed. Women have to escape sometimes to find time to even breathe. Seems so difficult. But we need to remember, though, that in this difficult present age that we live in and they live in, is that there's still only one person in the world who can be a mother to their kids, and that's their mom. Nobody else can be a mom to our kids. Institutions cannot be moms. Nobody else can take the place of mom. All is not right in our world at all. Listen to what Dorothy Patterson says in a great article, which if you read, I would highly encourage you to read, but it would be difficult to read because it's so true in many ways. She said, Mom and hot apple pie have been replaced by institutional daycare centers and cold apple turnovers at McDonald's. McDonald's apple turnovers are quite hot, actually. In our quest to be all we are meant to be, let us not forget what we are meant to be. The question has never been whether a woman wants the best for her husband and children or even for herself. Rather, the real question is this. Is being someone's wife and another's mother really worth the investment? I think that's a great question for our day. Is being someone's wife and another's mother really worth the investment of a life? As Amber and I were talking last night about some of these things, she told me a quote from a blog that she reads. She said, motherhood is saying, motherhood is saying, my life for yours. Basically, that's what mothers do. Mothers give up their life for their kids and their husband daily. But I thought, you know, that's exactly what Jesus did. So really, being a mother is displaying the gospel. Christians, we should think very hard about these things. You know why? Because if anybody's going to change society, it should be us. If anybody should live countercultural, it should be us, because we are kingdom people with a different king and a different set of values. We belong to heaven. ladies who have grown up for many years raising children have so much to pour into younger women, younger mothers. I wonder, some of you ladies maybe who have been down the road a couple of years, what kind of advice you might give to younger women. What kind of advice would you give to some of our young ladies, maybe some of them who aren't even married yet? What kind of advice would you give them? Would you tell them, make as much money as you can make? Would you tell them, work as hard as you can? Or would you say, give yourself to your children, give yourself to your husband? Thirdly, he says, be holy and pure. Paul tells Titus, he tells the older men, the older women, the younger women, and the younger men, all, that they should be sober-minded or holy or self-controlled. Nobody gets off in this category. Nobody, he tells everybody that they need to be self-controlled or holy or sober-minded. All Christians, including ladies, to be pure, to be set apart, to be different, to be good, to be holy in a present age where people say, just do whatever you want to do. Then he says, be busy at home and kind. You may say, this is the one I want to know about. Busy at home and kind. It means that older women should train the younger women to be busy at home. It literally says working at home, diligent homemakers. Well, does it mean that a woman can never work? Doesn't mean that a woman can never work. But it does mean, any way you look at it in Greek, it does mean that a woman should have her priority. Home should be the priority. Why? Because you're investing in lives that will go on generation after generation. Doesn't mean, ladies, that you can't ever have a job, but don't forget your home. Who's best qualified to teach younger women to care for their home? Not your pastor. Not your pastor, but older women. Who's best qualified to teach younger women to cook, to be hospitable, to be the older women? Sisters, love your husbands and submit to them. Love your children. Be holy, be pure, be busy at home, be kind. Why? All of these. That the word of God may not be reviled, so that God's name will be honored amongst our city. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about what kind of reputation do Christians have in Hong Kong? We think a lot about our individual witness. Have you ever thought about what does the city have to say about Christian families? I wonder, are we known for being a certain way? We say, we're a Christian family. And they say, oh, well, you must be like this. This is what we know about Christians. What do Christian mothers or do Christian wives have a reputation in Hong Kong as being different from the world? What about our corporate witness as churches, Christian churches in Hong Kong? What about employees? What about younger men? What about older men? What does our corporate witness look like around Hong Kong? Are we any different? Well, if we're going to be different, it's going to be because we do something about it. And that's not easy. Would the city say that Christians love their children any differently than anybody else does? Would the city say, you know, Christians, they don't love money like the rest of the city does? I'm going to go back to the end of the verse. Before close, look at what it says. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, all those who believe. We've been saved. Training us to do what? To renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. You can think for yourself what those worldly passions may be. To live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age. Guess what? The only age we have to live in is the present one. We don't live in the past one. We don't live in the same age as they did in Crete. We live in this one. And this generation of believers is responsible for this generation of souls. We are to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age. Why? While we're waiting for our blessed hope, we're waiting on our great God and Savior Jesus Christ to come again. The one who gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. I hope that our church can be a place where older women are training up younger women to love their husbands and to love their children and to be self-controlled and to be pure and have a thriving home life and to be kind and to be submissive to their husbands so that God's name and God's word will be honored our city. You may say, well, I don't know if I know Jesus really or not. The first step to being the wife and mother that you need to be is to make sure that you're right with God. If you don't know Jesus, give your life to Jesus, because guess what? We can't be the father or mother or wife or husband or child that we need to be in relation to anybody else unless we know Jesus, because we simply don't have it inside of us to do what we need to do. We need to be changed in order to change the world. In order to change our family, we need to be changed. So I pray that if you don't know Jesus today, that today would be the day that you would say, talk to a friend or talk to me after church. Give all that you know of yourself, all that you know of Jesus who gave himself for you and redeemed you from all lawlessness to purify you. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our great God, I pray that by your Spirit we would smooth over any of the rough places today. Anything that I might have said might wound, and instead that your Holy Spirit and your Word itself would be like a healing balm that would smooth over man's words. Instead, your Spirit would do the work that you want to do. God, encourage our wives and mothers in their task. Encourage them to keep on fighting the good fight. If their husband doesn't love them, or if their kids are difficult, give them the encouragement today to press on toward the end as they wait for the blessed hope of the return of Jesus. And I pray that you would give all of our mothers today the strength and the upbuilding to where they see the worthwhile value of giving the way Jesus did, even if the world says they're crazy. this into your hands. In Jesus' name.